We're going to finish up talking about the abominations that God has listed here in Proverbs, things that are abomination to Him. Going to finish that tonight. And there's a new, I call it, I left you plenty of room to write your answers on this one. I didn't give you any hints on this one. But when you get out there and start reading those, this is pretty much the verses compare and contrast. Pride and humility. I couldn't think of the title. They contrast those two things in different ways. And so that's why I didn't, because all I would have said was pride, humility, pride. And so you can write all that down as you could read through it. And we'll get to that next week. I pretty much got plans what we're going to be doing probably for another 4 or 5 weeks. So I'll probably try to give a list on those next week so y'all can know where we're going to go. So tonight we're going to start there. Actually, we covered the crooked heart and the false balance. That was a couple of things that we went ahead and covered last week. But this time we're going to talk about the wickedness from chapter 8 and verse 7 and again in chapter 15. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we'll continue down through the list to finish up. There's a lot of different things we could say, and two, you know, some of these things we're going to talk about a little bit as we go to each subject, other subjects. There's going to be a reference to these things, some of these things too. So you know, it's not that we're just going to skip over them, but we're just going to do it by, like I say, by subject, and I think that's the best way to do it. Several people are out tonight, sickness and various other ailments, and family members sick and that sort of thing. So. Some on vacation still, that sort of thing. So just remember, keep those people in your prayers. Janice Rogers has her surgery tomorrow on her other eye, so we pray for success. Let's go ahead and have a prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we're grateful unto you for all your blessings. We're grateful, Father, for life and health and strength. We're grateful for all that you do for us, Father. Please continue to watch over us and care for us. Continue to bless each home and each family, Father. Help us to always strive to do your will, to be an example and a light to the world, because this world has full of darkness. It's full of evil, and it's full of those people who have no hope. And we pray, Father, that through our efforts, we can help them understand that the hope that we have is heaven. The hope that we have is found in you and in your Son. And that it's our faith that will, and our obedience that will get us to achieve that hope one day. We're thankful, Father, for this time we can spend in the book of Proverbs to learn from it. As we go through and talk about these different subjects, Father, we pray for that you will give us the wisdom that we're going to talk about in a few weeks. You help us to give us the understanding of your word, and help us, Father, to give us the knowledge to apply it to ourselves and help others to apply it to themselves, to encourage them to be better servants. We have many, Father, who have weakness in faith, and we pray for them, Father. And we have others who are weak in body and mind, and we pray for them too. Thank you so much for all your blessings, Father. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. All right. You know, how many of you have a broad knowledge of wickedness? You like that question, Don? Yeah. I mean, you know, as I call it, we're just going to look at a couple of things tonight that he talks about as far as wickedness goes. And like I say, it's a never-ending subject, so to speak. But we'll start out there in chapter 8, in verse 7, there on your list. He says, well, let me just start in verse 6. He says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." Now, a couple of things you notice there. Of course, he says, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And you say, well, what's he contrasting that to? Well, he's talking about, that's why I began there, he's talking about, you will hear noble things, what I speak will be right, from my word mouth will come righteousness, there will be truth found in those. So the understanding or admonition is for us to think about not let wickedness come from our mouth and from our lips, but let the truth come from our lips. And you can we know that. We see that throughout the Bible, that truth should only be the thing that's uttered from that. And he specifically talks about, and one of the subjects we're going to talk about is the tongue. I'm not sure when, but I made a list. It's in the back there. I haven't published it or anything, but I made a list of what I wanted to talk about. So, and I'll pass that on to you next week. But the idea is the fact that wickedness, God doesn't want it. It's an abomination. He hates it. It's despicable. In other words, he doesn't like it at all. But look in chapter 15. A couple of things there that he mentions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That goes along with what he said in chapter 6 when he lists the seven things. You know, like I say, that's what when we talked about that list in chapter 6, we talked about those were things we're going to see again throughout the rest of the book, you know, throughout the rest of our study and throughout Proverbs. We're going to see those again and again and again. And that's why we spent a little bit of time on those. Let's go to chapter 15. Verses 8 and 9, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness." Again, we have the contrast that he uses throughout Proverbs. We talked about that. We're going to see it again, like I say, on the next subject and each subject. When he talks about the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he gives the opposite. But the prayer of the righteous, of the upright, is acceptable to God. In other words, God accepts the prayers of the righteous, but he does not accept the prayers of the wicked or the sacrifices or any kind of service that wicked offers him. Because if they're offering service, what kind of service would it be? Would it be for the purpose of honoring God, or would it be for their own self-righteous purpose, you think? That's what makes them wicked, right? Because they're honoring themselves versus the honoring God. And we've seen examples of that in the Old Testament. We're going to talk specifically about a couple of people here in just a little bit. But also, there in chapter 15, the sacrifice or prayer and the praise of the righteous. In other words, what the righteous people do in comparison to the wicked people is directly opposite. And that's why he's doing the comparison like that. Also, in verse 26, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure." That goes back to our lips, what we speak, how we say it. Remember, I gave you a couple of phrases that when we go through these things, and I call it, he just tells specifically some things, but a lot of times it's what we do, how we say it, what we do. And I phrased it this way: it's what you do, how you do it, and with what intent you do it, especially our words. And we're going to talk more about that when we talk about the tongue. But those three things can apply to every aspect that we're talking about here. Can the wicked offer a prayer? They can, can't they? But what does he tell us? Is that prayer going to be heard? You think that? Do you think that prayer is going to be heard? Yeah. In chapter 28, that one down toward the bottom, chapter 28 and verse 9. Let's go ahead and let's look at that right quick. But I think it goes the same idea. 28 and verse 9 says, "If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." So, but this implies so much more than just a prayer. This implies so much more than God hearing prayer. God hears everybody's prayer. But the problem is, he's not going to answer prayer for the wicked. We got to, in this chapter, in this verse, he says, the reason he doesn't is because you're not listening to him. He's not going to listen to your prayer because you're not listening to him. Because if you were listening to him, you would be obeying the law. There would be obedient people. There would not be wickedness. There would be obedient people. So if you're not going to obey God, you can pray all day long, but he's not going to listen if you're not obeying God and listening to his word and what it tells you to do. So there's a lot more too than our worship or the sacrifice. There's a lot more to it than sometimes how we perceive it. You know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees and their tithing with mint, anise, and cumin, but they forget the weightier matters of the law. And I think this goes along with that idea too, that the weightier matters of the law, the little things are important, but the weightier things of the law are also important. The weightier matters are important too. And it all goes back to obedience. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Clint. Yeah, we get complacent. We go along. We go along. Exactly. We have to be careful. Any other comments? Exactly. That's why he wants us to listen to his word so we don't go astray, so that we don't become wicked. Exactly. Exactly, Sharon. Thank you. Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 20. What does this verse tell us when we look at that? It says, those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. When you think of what's a crooked heart? What do you mean? What is he talking about there? What do you think? Let's read verse 21, okay? Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. I'm trying to piece these together so that makes maybe give us some different aspects of it or give us a better idea. Turn over to chapter 16 now. In verse 5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. And so it's basically what these two verses we read here in chapter 11, 20 and 21, are saying approximately the same thing in chapter 16 in verse 5. You know, when we study parables, a lot of people, I haven't taught this in a long time, but I used to teach it back in the junior high and high school class. We had a series of lessons on parables. But we had a lesson, we started out with a parable of the sower. You know, that's pretty basic, you think about it. But you remember the parable of the sower, what were the different soils? There were different hearts, right? Remember he talks about that when he does the explanation? He says these are the different hearts of people. So then what we did, we stopped talking about parables and then talked about hearts. So many times, you know, we see in the Bible that illustration of their heart's not right, you know. And here in Proverbs, we're going to see it a lot of times. People have wicked hearts because that's what they spring out of, you know. What is it? Jesus had some phrases like out of the mouth. You know, it's not what comes out of the mouth, it's what comes out of the heart that tells you what a man is, whether he's wicked or good or bad or evil. So those are the type of things, those illustrations are Proverbs in himself that Jesus spoke. But when we look at these back here, we don't associate them with those things we see in the New Testament. But the Word of God is a progress. Starts, like we talked about, starts in the Old Testament. It was to bring us to where? To our Savior. It was to bring us to Christ. It was to bring us to a relationship with Christ. Even the old law, even though it was had a lot of errors in it or had a lot of complicated matters in it, we'll say, it wasn't going to save us, it wasn't going to save them, but it was to give them an understanding of God and have that relationship with God. And we emphasize that throughout that study. But if we look at the bigger picture of it, that was leading us to have this understanding heart so that when we hear Jesus' parables, we can have an understanding heart. We can understand that parable and apply it to our lives. And I think that's one of the things he's pointing out here. If you don't have an understanding heart or the right heart, you're going to be wicked. You're going to be evil. You're going to have an arrogant heart. You're not going to believe you're not going to listen to what God's word tells you. Any questions or comments on that? I thought those two things sort of paralleled one another, and I wanted to make sure we understood. Because the application, you know, I've tried to, and I'm going to try to do a better job of it. Didn't do it so much. Well, I did a couple of things, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. A couple of these things I've tried to bring over to the New Testament, see where it's illustrated the same way, or it'll be a little different way in the New Testament. We talk about an arrogant heart, which is where we started out with there in 16 and 5. It reminded me, after my lesson Sunday, I got grilled. I just want y'all to know that, okay? I had a young lady come to me and ask me questions. And there were hard questions that I had to answer. But it said something about what my favorite verse was. And I had a hard time giving a favorite verse, but it was one I'd used that day. That was the favorite verse of the day, so to speak. That's what it was. But one of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at that just a minute. When you talk about being an arrogant heart or having an arrogant heart, first thing I thought about when I read chapter 16 and verse 5, with an arrogant heart, and it's an abomination to God, I thought about Romans 12. He says, and starting in verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We talk about that. That leads us to verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I said to everyone among you, you were not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Too many times, Christians can get caught up in, you know, can get caught up in themselves, so to speak. We compare ourselves to others, but we fail to compare ourselves to the true standard, which is God's word. We say, well, I'm smarter than this guy, or I'm smarter than this guy, and I know more about this subject than this guy, or I know more about, you know, this, or I know that. Compared to most people, I know nothing, you know, about the Bible. I just don't feel like I ever know enough. What's the expression I used to use? I'm a Bible student. Every day of my life, I'm a Bible student because I'm trying to learn something. But when, you know, I've known people, and you probably have too. We're not going to call names or anything. We're not going to get specific. But we've known people, known even preachers sometimes, who are extremely smart. And knowledge is great. But we're going to study the book of Proverbs. We're going to study about wisdom. Knowledge is great. It's important to know a lot about the Bible. But it's more important to have the wisdom to use it correctly. It's important to have the wisdom to be able to talk to a 7-year-old young lady when she asks you questions. Being able to talk to a 30-year-old person. Being able to talk to a 70-year-old person. You can't talk to them the same way. But you've still got to have that knowledge and that wisdom to know how to help encourage them, not to dissuade them, not to discourage them. And it's not easy. And probably most of my mistakes are that. You know, most of my mistakes, I don't approach that person in the right way. So when we talk about, you know, what we do and what you do, how you do it, and with what intent you do it, that's the wisdom we're talking about. That's the wisdom we're talking about. It's important for us to realize that. All the knowledge in the world is not going to make me a better Christian than you are. Because in God's sight, we're all saved people. We're all sinners too. So we got to remember those things. And when we talk to people, when we try to help them, encourage them, I know some of us have reached out to a young lady that's visited with us a while and right now is in a bad place, I think. She was supposed to be here Sunday and she didn't come. We asked, several of us I know did, ask her to be here so we could help her. And we didn't see her. And that hurts. You know, that hurts. I call it hurt my heart, so to speak. You know, that's, as I call it, I don't know what else to say. I don't want to say too much. Don't want to, you know, but I want to encourage. And that's important for us to do as Christians. We know that. And I've talked too much. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, it's that, like I say, that's where the knowledge and the wisdom are separated. That's. Mm-hmm. That's not going to matter at all, is it? Not going to matter at all. Yes, Martha. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And and you know, and as I call it, I can't change you. Only you can change you. But it's not going to come through, well, I'm going to criticize Martha for reading other books. Change is not going to come through reading other books. It's going to come through reading this book. The spiritual change you need, most of us need to make, is going to come from right here in these pages. Now, like I say, knowledge is great. Wisdom is good and great. Application of the Word of God is where we need to get serious, so to speak. You know, I want to help people. Well, what are you doing to help people? I want to do this. Well, what are you doing to do that? You know, we can sit back in this classroom and talk about it all we want to, but what are we actually doing to help someone get out of their depression and get out of their being overcome by the world? And bring them out of there. That's the hard part. But that's the grassroots part, though. That's where we got to get down to it. And we've used enough excuses. COVID's not an excuse anymore. You know, it shouldn't have, it never should have been, really, but we did let it do that. And that's serious thinking on my part that we let it happen. But now we have to overcome that. And we need to make sure we try to do that. A lot of people, you know, use different things. But like I say, these are some serious things, and we don't have to dwell too long on it because we got to talk about some kings. Let's turn over there in chapter 16, in verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. So when you read that, what king comes to mind when you talk about that? Well, yeah, David, but I'm thinking before David. Yeah. Manasseh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still talking about the one before that. I must be talking about Saul, right? Well, what did Saul do? First off, God appointed him, and then God gave him one assignment, and what did he do? He disobeyed God, didn't he? First, right off the bat. He chose to disobey God. So, but what else did he do later on? He couldn't wait on Samuel to do it, so he became a priest. He appointed himself a priest and offered sacrifices. What is, read this, let's look at this verse again. Verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. God established Saul on his throne, and he knew it. And when Saul disobeyed him, what did God do? He took it away from Saul, didn't he? Remember, the Spirit of God left Saul. You remember that phrase? The Spirit of God left Saul. So wickedness never wins. That's what we're talking about here. Wickedness never wins. Doing evil never wins. Did Saul ever get back right with the Lord? No, not really. Not throughout his life. Because he continued to dwell on evil versus dwelling on doing God's will. We could read more about that in 1 Samuel, but we're not going to take the time to do that. But yeah, and like you said, Manasseh was one. There were several others. David didn't win perfect, you know. David sinned. And as I call it, but what that tells us is just because we have position in God's realm, Saul was a king of Israel. That doesn't make him perfect. That didn't make him have the right kind of heart. That didn't make him obey God all the way through. So, you know, just because we come along, I've got a long history of Christians. I can go back to way back over here. I can go back into Alabama and show you the paperwork. You know, God doesn't want to see that paperwork. He didn't want to see that my great-granddaddy was established that church over there in that little community. You know, he didn't want to see that. I mean, that's great, yeah. But does that change my destiny? No. My destiny is determined by myself. And so we got to, you know, think about those things, and that goes back to that type of heart we want to be careful about. Let's look at chapter 17. Making a little progress. Got to hurry up to get finished. 17, chapter, verse 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. He covers two subjects in this one, doesn't he? Justifies the wicked, condemns the righteous. Look at verse 5 of chapter 18. It is not good to be partial to the wicked, or to deprive the righteous of justice. Same thing, same idea. We have to be careful how we, I'll call it, who we get along with or who we agree with. We have to be careful about that. There's so much stuff going on nowadays. There's all this stuff, and people, you see people that, I think this or I think that, and then there's a whole other list of things that going on out there. We got to be careful what we agree with, or who we have friends with, and that sort of thing. We've got to be careful about that. Because there's a lot of wicked people out there. We just can't see them all the time. Look at chapter. Any questions or comments about that one? I think it's. Yeah, Clint. Exactly. We have to be careful. Yeah. Let's. The next one there on the list is where we'll spend probably the rest of our time. We pretty much have talked about these others, but we'll go to chapter 21. Verse 27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. A couple of things in there that I wanted to emphasize. Of course, you know, the idea that of what the, verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked being an abomination. Now, is that just talking about one sacrifice, or is that all this man sacrifices, every sacrifice that he does? I think when he says that other phrase, how much more when he brings it with evil intent, why would you sacrifice with evil intent? Why would you do that? you know, hopefully we don't understand that because we don't think that way, okay? You know, you understand what I'm saying? That takes a very wicked person to do that. You know, it's a pretense to being service, doing service to God. It's a pretense to say, well, look, I made my sacrifice. And the intent is wrong. That's what brought me up to those three things I say. What you do has to be the right thing. How you do it has to be, again, the right way. With what intent do you do it? Is it for good? Is it for good for you, for others? Or is it just bad all the way around? Well, I've got to stop. We'll go ahead and start with the next group of on Proverbs with our pride and humility section.